Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, it's a Wednesday. That means our good buddy Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout Eugene Springfield, joins us to preview the Ducks and the Dukes this weekend. A reminder, you can catch all coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network, home of the Ducks. Tyson, hello. How are you? Are you ready for the holiday?
Hey, I definitely am. Although I did just start to look at some of the flight prices to Miami, like not to get ahead of ourselves or anything. And
we would never do that. Definitely not here at the Fan. Seven of us have not decided that this game doesn't matter. No.
Yeah, but it's kind of that cart before the horse. But also, like, if you don't order the cart before the horse, you're gonna be paying double for it. And excited for the holiday, a little bit stressed out about the next couple weeks.
Well, let's start right there. I've been making the joke the last few days that whether it's, you know, Dirt and Sprague in the morning, us here, or Luke on the Happy Hour show, or the Primetime Boys, that we've kind of overlooked this game. And I think we all understand why, and I don't want to try to backtrack on any of that. But from an Oregon Duck perspective, and we know Lanning's going to say the things that he needs to say, but I'm more curious about the players. What do the players need to do to take this game as seriously as they need to?
I don't think it's terribly hard for them to do that. Like, I think, you know, especially with a couple weeks off here and wanting to get back on the field and kind of hit people. I think it'll be pretty easy for them to kind of like refocus, and the fact that it's a home game, like I think this would be tougher if you were playing this 12 seed, like on a neutral at a neutral site where you didn't kind of have the juice and kind of like the rhythm of a home game. You know, that's the thing about this thing is while the Ducks say they are going to try to add a few extra kind of wrinkles for the playoff atmosphere, like they're treating this thing like a home game. It's going to be the same music. It's going to be a lot of the same presentation, and they're going to be expecting kind of like the same kind of advantage that you get for playing in Autzen Stadium. So I do think it's easy to kind of look ahead for us because, you know, we're the ones that are doing the whole, you know, how good was this season? Like, you know, what are the expectations? What's this mean for legacy? Although, like, did this team make it further than last year? Like, that's all stuff we're concerned about. But I think this roster is veteran enough, and a lot of them experienced what happened last year with Ohio State. I think they just kind of know that the process of winning four games is you got to start with one. So I think they'll be okay for that.
Tyson, I was talking to Dirt about this and just kind of get his, you know, thoughts on, you know, being a Duck and being, you know, Duck through and through, what it means to have this game and how excited he was or wasn't for this game. And the way he phrased it was like, heck yeah, man, I'm super excited because it's a home playoff game where it's probably going to be a blowout and it's going to be a party for 4 hours with 60,000 of my closest friends. Is that kind of the dynamic that you're feeling out of this? Is there any worry at all? Like, could anything can happen. We all know that. But, like, is there anything out there that you feel like that David versus Goliath that, you know, the one in a million chance can land?
Man, it's tough. I mean, you know, we can see what, like, maybe if the weather decides to play a factor on Saturday, too, and if we get some more of this wind and rain and it turns into, like, one of those hold on to the football, whoever gets rid of the ball the least win sort of things. But I think what benefits this Oregon team is just like the way the variety of styles in which they've been able to win football games this year. You know, they've been able to play air it out games like USC. They've been able to play in the slog and in the mud like Iowa and Wisconsin. And so, you know, this JMU team, like, they're talented. They have a really, really good quarterback who gets a lot of attention for how he runs the ball, but like he can be explosive too with the way he throws it. And so like I do think that, you know, if you do make some costly mistakes and you don't correct them quickly, like this is a talented football team, but also it's one that I don't think they can do it, guys. I hate getting ahead of ourselves here, but I think Oregon's played too many tough games this season, and they've played too many games where like they've had to be in it and they've had to be focused and they've had to make plays that, you know, even if James Madison gets out to a decent start here, like I do think that Oregon's just tested enough to not really be scared in this one.
He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. He is the home of the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. And you're referencing Barnett III, the quarterback there at JMU. He had some comments over the week kind of talking about how when he grew up, which I know this is about to make us all feel super old, when he grew up, you know, Oregon Ducks were the place that they all wished that they could play. The Mariota Heisman, the facilities, the jerseys, et cetera, et cetera. Is the game plan from maybe a football standpoint, because we know the crowd will be there, is the game plan from a football standpoint to get ahead of them early and get their brains in a zone of, boy, we don't belong here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like it's kind of been a fun run up to this game. It seems like both fan bases have been pretty cordial and fun with each other, and you have seen a lot of quotes from like JMU players that are not only like respectful, but almost kind of like in awe of what Oregon is. And I think that's going to be fun for them. And when they come out onto the field and they see all the television cameras, it's going to be a neat experience, but it's not very fun playing at Autzen when you're down like 14-0 and the crowd's getting into it and your offense is becoming one dimensional. And so I think, yeah, that is the best game plan, is be welcoming, let these kids have some fun as they come in during pregame introductions, and then just kind of put it to them. Because I think that's the one thing when you're playing a lower caliber team, is you just don't want to give them hope from the start. And the longer that they can stay in it, the longer that they think they can win. And I think Oregon is just going to be trying to cut that out from the start.
Tyson, probably the biggest, I guess, on-field story is the return of the wide receiver core with DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant Jr., and Evan Stewart. How much do you expect them to actually play? Or is this a, hey, let's get them out there, let's get them loose? Do you think they're going to factor into the game plan as far as, you know, opening scripts or anything along those lines? Or is this just a, let's start gearing them up for Texas Tech?
I think this might be more of a gearing up. I mean, it was funny, you know, they have that open practice and they have those three guys kind of practicing next to each other, and all the Oregon accounts are quick to tweet out pictures. And, you know, if anything, I think it just gives James Madison and other teams down the road more things to prepare for. Now, you know, maybe they are completely fully healthy and it's been a awesome last 3 weeks of rest and recovery, but I do think that these are guys that are going to be way more important to be healthy down the road against, you know, the Texas Techs, Indiana's, Ohio State's, the world. That being said, if they are good enough to be on the field and go, I wouldn't be surprised to see them at least shake off a little bit of rust. But like, I don't think this is going to be something where it's like, hey, DeCorian Moore is back, let's force feed him 15 times in this game.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, maybe a little look ahead. I'll ask you the question about, are we testing things for Texas Tech, or are we just handling business once and for all? We'll do that next. Tyson Alger, our guest here, as it always is on a Wednesday, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast. But I can't feel
All right, he's our duck guy. Tyson Alger joins us every Wednesday. You can check out his work on the I-5 corridor, Lookout, Eugene, Springfield. And I'm getting kind of sad, Tyson, because we're getting near the end of the season, no matter how it turns out. I'm just going to miss you. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, you know, it's been a fun professional relationship.
Yes, I will miss you too. let's get into this game. I'm curious how you attack this from the coaching standpoint, because I think we're all in the idea of punch them in the mouth, get this thing over with, get players out, get them rested. Is this an opportunity which we were kind of curious about before the Penn State game, before the Indiana game, before the Iowa game? Oregon had some teams of lesser quality that they were able to potentially check on some things, potentially keep things secret. What's the vibe you get on whether it's play calling on the offensive side or just motivation side leading up to a most likely matchup with Texas Tech?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're going to mess around early. I think that this is one of those games where it's like, it's definitely a mismatch. We've seen the talent gap between these teams. We've seen James Madison's record against top 25 opponents, or it's 123rd ranked strength of schedule, or the fact that I think they have three guys on their entire roster who are 4 stars or better, and the Ducks have like 58. So a little bit of a difference there. But it's also the playoffs, and if you lose this game, that would be one of the most embarrassing losses in Oregon program history. So I don't think that they're coming into this game being like, you know what, let's hide everything and you know, worry about Texas Tech. Like, I think they're going to come in and try to get their points early. That being said, the one thing that has been a pretty constant with this Oregon team this year, especially in that earlier part of the season, is when they have played teams that they are – where they have that mismatch, where they are supposed to win, like, they've cleaned up pretty well. I know it feels like it was a long time ago, but that month of September, they were scoring 40, 50, 60 points every other week. So I think this is one where you can get your points in early, and then you can kind of take the foot off the gas and maybe kind of get rotations in of guys that you think are going to need to shake off some of that rust for Texas Tech, or maybe you're not going to have to use your full entire playbook for the second half, or maybe you can even get Dante Moore out of that game, and so that way he has zero chance of going into Miami banged up. But yeah, I mean, it's such a kind of a unique situation for the Ducks in this bracket, because if you look across the rest of the playoff, like, every other game is a pretty good matchup. This is the only one that's, what is it, like a 21-point spread coming into this thing. It's been weeks, I feel like, or months, I feel like, since Oregon's had a spread that big, and so it's playoffs. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Oregon needs to play their A-plus game in this one to get a victory out of it.
Dice, I'm going to do the thing where we're actually looking past this, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this. The idea of Tosh LaPoy and Will Stein and their ability to prepare for not just this game, but going into Texas Tech, because right now there's a quiet period. You know, it's the
right
tampering window, if as it were, but once they win this game and you get into the next part of this, you're looking at, you know, both Cal and Kentucky for LaPoy and Stein respectively. They've got teams to build and they've got transfer portals to work around, and there's going to be guys coming, there's going to be guys going, and all those things. They can sit there, and Dan Lanning can sit there and say they're locked in, they're focused, they want to be here. But we all know the reality is they have other jobs that they have to worry about, and that's going to take up more of their time and more of their attention when they're taking on a much more difficult opponent in Texas Tech. How much of that is going to be Lanning transitioning to, whether it's guys on staff or, you know, leaning on consultants or whatever else it is, as they kind of prepare going into that next game, as those guys start preparing for their next careers?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that Lanning has kind of talked about in the last couple of weeks, is just how, like, yes, obviously Will Stein and Tosh LaPoy are incredibly important figures on this team, but he's also been very he's given a lot of credit to the entire staff in terms of, like, how they go about building their offensive and defensive game plans. And it's very, a lot of hands go into making something. So it's not just like you're taking those two guys out and then everybody else around has no idea how to go about doing this thing, or it's not familiar to them. That being said, we were talking to Tosh yesterday, and like, I can't get over, like, just how busy, like, these guys legitimately are. Cause, like, Tosh kind of, like, took the position of, yeah, like over my dead body, were they going to drag me out of here and not let me coach during the playoffs, kind of taking like the anti-Kiffin position. And like, you respect that, and it's a great soundbite. And for somebody like Tosh, who's a notoriously hard worker, like, you believe it too. But at the same time, if they're game planning for JMU 12 hours a day, and then you're getting on the phone, or, you know, getting on the phone afterwards to start like assembling your staff in Berkeley, or in Will's case over in Kentucky, like, those are just really, really long days. And if you're playing teams if you're going up against teams that aren't facing that, where it's just all your focus is in on one thing, like, yeah, like, I think it's hard. And I think it's one of those things where this is why they have to be professional compartmentalizers. And luckily, they do have a head coach in Dan Lanning who went through this process 4 years ago when he was still the DC at Alabama, or at Georgia, when he was hired at Oregon. And the one thing Dan had was the benefit of they were 3 hours ahead, so they could kind of finish up what they were doing in Georgia and then still have some daylight in Eugene to work on things. But yeah, like, it's. I don't think Texas Tech is sitting there going like, oh man, this is great. Like, Oregon's going to get beat up by JMU and we're going to have a hobbled Ducks. But I think you might have a slightly distracted Ducks, even if they're doing their best to avoid that.
It's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. And Tyson, we'll kind of get you out on this. The reports are, as he announced, that Bear Alexander will return next year. You know, I think there's guys we assume, like Amari Washington, will be gone. Reading between the tea leaves with Bear coming back, is that more of a situation to plant himself in a better draft position? Or can I read the tea leaves and think Dante Moore's coming back? Where are you sitting on the quarterback at Oregon, as nobody knows anything and it's all speculation?
Yeah, it's kind of been one of those interesting ones this year, because if you would have asked after the Penn State game, it seemed like he was going to be the number one draft pick, and then you have a couple bad games or injuries, and it's Dante's leaning towards staying at Oregon, and then it seems like the last couple weeks it's been swinging back the other way. I don't know how much of Dante's situation is affected by Bears, but also, like, if I'm deciding to come back for another year, having the confirmation that I'm having a top-level quarterback coming back, you know, that probably doesn't hurt my decision. But I think overall, this was a huge year for Bear. He had a lot of hype in his career and not a whole lot of production, and this was kind of like the first real kind of proof of concept that this is a really good player. But I do think that he still could really benefit from another year, and I think that's what he and his people saw too. And also, this is college football. He's a big part of a really good Oregon roster, and I'm sure he probably made out decently financially for making that decision as well. So, don't know about Dante. Getting Bear back is huge, because he's been really good, especially the second half of the season.
What are you writing this week? The I-5 corridor, look out, Eugene, Springfield. Go ahead, let us know.
Dude, I had a fun one reporting on Friday. I spent like a whole day at MacArthur Court as they were playing. It was the return of the Mac High School basketball series.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I'm kind of going poetic and featury with it, boys. So we're setting scenes. We're painting a picture, and that should be coming out tomorrow.
The poinsettias of Augusta is basically what you're doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
I'm going Rinaldi on this thing.
I love it. He's Tyson Alger. Check out his work. The I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Enjoy the game this weekend, amigo, and hopefully, no matter what. No. We'll wish you a Merry Christmas. We'll flip around maybe New Year's Eve with you. Does that sound good?
Dude, I could imagine nothing less more fun than spending New Year's Eve with you, boys.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. He's Tyson Alger. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tyson.
Every single Wednesday, you can find him right here with us at 10:30 and 10:45. Nice enough to grace us with his presence as the Ducks look forward to James Madison. Again, you can hear all the coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network as kick is at 4:30.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.